It's Friday, December 18th, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. Sorry about the late post tonight, but got busy doing holiday stuff and working with Oregon Normal, helping them put together an identification card system for the Cannabis Cafe. I'll show it to you online once it's all ready to go at the Stash blog at stash.normal.org. If you haven't heard the good news, we are going to be based out of the Cannabis Cafe for Normal Show Live, your daily audio stash. That's right. We're taking Normal Show Live from the weekend, the talk radio show with interaction from listeners, and the Daily Audio Stash podcast, and kind of combining the two of them in a weird Frankenstein sort of experiment. It's going to be a daily live show every weekday, Monday through Friday, at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific. So all my friends out there in the East Coast, you can spend your 420 with Normal Daily Audio Stash, which will be rechristened Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation, your daily audio stash. That's right. The longest title in talk radio, but that way everyone's happy. And for those of you who are subscribing through iTunes or through the podcast players, don't worry. You're not going to have to change a thing. We're going to point all of our feeds through the new site at Blog Talk Radio and also through all of the old feeds. So you won't have to change anything. You'll still get your daily audio stash, and you'll get it on time. You're also going to get the same kind of segments we've been playing here on the Daily Audio Stash, things like cannabis science and our Celeb Stoner entertainment news, Southern California scene. Our Leap speakers will be joining us. We'll be doing our government at work as all of the legislatures get into session, and many, many more. And our daily Toker tunes will still be coming to you as well. We'll be playing those at 20 after the hour for a real good break on your work day. Stay tuned for that. That starts January 4th. We're going to ring in the new year with a new show. Also, as far as broadcasting from the Cannabis Cafe, we're just going to be doing that on Fridays. I may have kind of misspoken a little bit on the last podcast. Got some people who thought I was going to be there every day. No, I am not signing up for a commute. That's why I like this job. So one day a week, Friday, we'll trek out to the Cannabis Cafe. That's a good day for it anyway, as the Cannabis Common Sense show is later on that evening, and it's a really hopping night there at the cafe. They are also building a nice platform for us, kind of a stage booth for the talk show. So we are going to have quite the setup there and the live audience every Friday. We'll also take your calls at 347-994-1810. And speaking of the show, we are still doing our Saturday show tomorrow night, Normal Show Live, 2 hours, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. It's our look back at 2009 and our look forward during our Happy Holiday special from Normal. We're going to be joined by Alan St. Pierre, the executive director of Normal, and Keith Stropp, the founder of Normal, to get their take on the events of the past year and what the future has in store for ending adult marijuana prohibition. And finally, last couple of notes here for the stash. Because of the holidays, you will not be getting a podcast on the next two Thursdays and Fridays for Christmas Eve, Christmas, New Year's Eve, and New Year's Day, which also happens to be my anniversary. So we'll be taking some time off and getting ready for our new live show. Now, coming up on the podcast, we begin with your cannabis community calendar, and then I'll look at your hemp headlines, including the mayor-elect of Seattle, Washington, coming out in favor of a bill in that state to legalize marijuana. From Los Angeles, or more accurately, Hollywood, the movie It's Complicated with Meryl Streep and Alec Baldwin gets slapped with an R rating for a realistic portrayal of adult marijuana use. And in good news from Los Angeles, the South Central area, Snoop Dogg's football league, his kids are just beginning to get into high school football, and they're really doing well. Undefeated Crenshaw High School competing for the city title. In our Daily Toker Tunes, today brought to you by The Bastard, we give you a group from Atlanta called Swank Sinatra and their rockin' tune called Silverback. And in our Celeb Stoner Entertainment Report, the last one for 2009, we sit down with Steve Bloom to talk about marijuana and sports figures. All that and more coming up on your normal daily audio stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Road again. Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Friends, it's time we legalize the responsible use of marijuana and stop treating marijuana smokers like criminals. We're destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of good, hardworking Americans every year in this country for no good reason. There's absolutely nothing wrong with smoking pot. For more information on how you can help legalize marijuana, please contact Normal at normhealth.org.
Fat and long, pack me a bowl or fill me a bong. It only comes twice a day, but I don't care.
It's 420 somewhere.
It's time for your cannabis community calendar, available online at normal.org/calendar. To get your events added to the calendar, send me an email with the subject calendar request to stash@normal.org. Next week on Monday, December 21st, Dr. Detroit's Winter Solstice Party takes place 3 blocks south of 7 Mile at 18,700 Woodard in Detroit, Michigan. Check out minormal.org for more details or call 313-366-2247. Also on Monday, Kansas City Normal will be having their meeting at 4010 Pennsylvania Avenue in Kansas City, Missouri. Call 888-KC-NORMAL or check out kcnormal.org for details. And that's all for the calendar. Seeing it is the holiday weeks, not a whole lot going on. We encourage all of you to get close to your friends, family, and loved ones and celebrate the holidays with our favorite special herb.
From Washington, D.C., the belly of the anti-marijuana beast. Season's greetings from Normal staff and the board of directors to you and yours. This is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of Normal and the Normal Foundation, and I sincerely hope your holidays are both safe and hemp-filled.
Hi, this is Normal founder and legal counsel Keith Stropp, wishing you a happy holiday from Normal. Let's use this time with family and friends to rededicate ourselves to ending marijuana prohibition and stopping the arrest of responsible marijuana smokers. Happy holidays.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. Seattle Mayor-elect, legalize marijuana. Seattle Mayor-elect Mike McGinn said during a radio interview Friday that he supports efforts to make it legal to use marijuana in Washington state. Representative Mary Lou Dickerson, Democrat of Seattle, has introduced a bill that would allow people 21 and older to use pot. Speaking to KUOW, McGinn noted that city voters in 2003 approved a measure making enforcement of marijuana laws the lowest priority for Seattle police. Quote, hopefully we've already got some city savings from that already, and that we're saving money on prosecution and incarceration around what the citizens think is a pretty darn low priority, end quote, said McGinn, adding that his stance on pot use is nothing new. Quote, I actually took this position during the campaign and nobody noticed. It was an answer to the question in the stranger's election land, end quote, McGinn said. Quote, if every elected official who ever smoked marijuana voted to legalize it, it would probably be legalized in an instant. We recognize that. Like alcohol, it's something that should be regulated, not treated as a criminal activity. And I think that's where the citizens of Seattle want us to go. End quote. On a website set up for McGinn so he can hear suggestions from the people of Seattle, legalize marijuana and tax it was the second most popular idea. Earlier this week, State Attorney General Rob McKenna told reporters he opposes Dickerson's bill. In 2010, it looks like the whole West Coast will be discussing the legalization of marijuana for all adults. The next mayor of Seattle is openly supporting the idea. Californians support legalization by 56%, according to the field poll, and TaxCannabis2010.org has gotten more than enough signatures to qualify for the November ballot. Oregonians are pushing a bill, a referendum, and an initiative to see where support is greatest. It might be possible that next new year, we'll be looking at three states with legal pot. Wow!
It's complicated, given our rating for scene of, quote, pot smoking with no bad consequences, end quote. From the LA Times. A minor ruckus has erupted in Hollywood over the R rating assigned to the Meryl Streep romantic comedy, It's Complicated, as reported in the Times' December 10th post on the Company Town blog. It's complicated, but It's Complicated will be released with an R rating. According to the Times, those familiar with the Motion Picture Association of America's hearing on the movie say a scene featuring, quote, pot smoking with no bad consequences, end quote, was key to the decision. The ratings board made its intentions clear when it slapped an R rating on It's Complicated for including a brief, realistic depiction of adult marijuana use. The movie also briefly bears the buttocks of a double for Alec Baldwin. But according to industry insiders, the reason for the R rating is marijuana. The film dares to show beloved stars Baldwin and Streep casually using marijuana and enjoying it, followed by Streep dangling a joint in front of Steve Martin, all without suffering any adverse consequences. In the golden age of Hollywood, a male and female character could not be shown in bed together. Early television sitcoms featured married couples like I Love Lucy had to have the husband and wife sleeping in separate beds. There was even a rule that if a male and female were on a bed, even married and fully clothed, that each had to have one foot on the floor at all times. That's what this story sounds like to me as I read it. The MPAA, protecting our children from images of adults using cannabis without adverse consequences. When survey after survey shows that well over 4 out of 5 teenagers find it easy to get marijuana, easier than beer. And 1 out of 8 teenagers will use marijuana this year.
Over half of all adults aged 18 to 49 have tried marijuana, and about a third aged 50 to 65 have done so. Meryl Streep and Alec Baldwin giggling over a joint in bed is hardly the opening of Pandora's box here. Snoop Dogg's youth football program leads to unbeaten Crenshaw High football team. From the Huffington Post, Los Angeles, California. Football has long been the athletic stepchild at inner-city Crenshaw High School. Trophy cases are crammed with basketball awards. Gym walls are lined with hoops championship flags. But the football team is undefeated this season and headed for the California State Championship Bowl game this weekend, and the coach attributes part of the success to an unlikely off-field source, rapper Snoop Dogg. 9 of this year's Crenshaw High School Cougars went through the 5-year-old Snoop Youth Football League, representing the first crop of varsity players to cut their teeth in the program. The league has produced standouts at other schools, but none has more players or a better record than Crenshaw. I love it when one of our own gives back to the community. Everyone knows Snoop Dogg as the pot-smoking rapper, so when he turns father figure coach to kids in the inner city, spending over $1 million of his own money to give them football, it's great public relations for marijuana without even having to mention it. But further along in the article, there's this portion that really lifts me up. But the league soon caught on, especially when fathers with criminal records learned they could coach, unlike most other youth sports. Snoop Dogg, himself a former gang member, has several convictions for drugs and weapons offenses, and if the league didn't allow ex-cons, there wouldn't be enough coaches. The coaching exception has also reconnected boys with their dads, or at least with positive male role models in neighborhoods where fathers are often behind bars or otherwise absent. The dads, many of them members of the rival Bloods and Crips, must agree to leave their gang disputes away from the field. It got me to thinking about all the opportunities that we are denied once we're caught with marijuana and given the drug criminal stamp on our lifelong record. With all the kids that could use more interaction with positive adult role models, it seems a shame that getting caught with weed 20 years ago could prevent a father from being his son's Pop Warner football coach.
Just say no.
No matter what you call it, it's a huge part of popular culture.
Where'd you learn that, Cheech? Drug school.
You don't need weed school. You just need a copy of the new book, Pot Culture, the A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life.
Hey, this is great, man.
Even if you never smoked marijuana.
I never used marijuana. Sorry.
Don't think you smoked marijuana.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two and didn't inhale.
Or you used to smoke marijuana.
I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Pot Culture by former High Times editor Steve Bloom and Shirley Halperin will answer every question you ever had about marijuana culture.
Has that marijuana made it back up here yet?
Check out Pot Culture, the A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life at Amazon.com or visit PotCultureBook.com today.
Too bad, man. I just stopped smoking yesterday.
Law420.com.
Hello, I'm Russ Belville, Outreach Coordinator for Normal. In my job, I read literally hundreds of headlines each month involving nonviolent, productive citizens whose lives are ripped apart by a marijuana or drug arrest. Many citizens could avoid arrest by refusing police searches and remaining silent, but police are well-trained to confuse and intimidate. That's why you have a right to speak to an attorney before answering any police questions. I hope you never need to exercise that right, but if you do, make your first call to the law offices of John C. Lucy IV. John Lucy is an accomplished criminal defense attorney with expertise in Oregon's medical marijuana law. John Lucy understands and respects cannabis and drug consumers of all backgrounds. Call John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit in downtown Portland. Address available at law420.com. That's John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit law420.com today.
It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we take you into the weekend with Rockin' Friday, our segment featuring the best rock, metal, punk, and jam band music, brought to you by The Bastard, blogging at jerseyandohio.wordpress.com. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on the Daily Audio Stash, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes. Swank Sinatra is a do-it-yourself rock and roll band that formed in Atlanta in September of 2004. Since that time, they have made a solid name for themselves in the area of underground rock. Swank Sinatra is not playing for fame and fortune. They simply want to provide people with true rock and roll that is fun and fast. Even with all of the success they have had, they still have not forgotten who they are and what playing music is all about. They still run their own website and MySpace, they handle their own booking and promotion, and they only work with people that get what they do and who are not in this for the wrong reasons. They have been rocking the Southeast for 5 years, spreading the word that rock is not dead, it is just in need of a revival. With one of the most energetic live shows this side of the Mason-Dixon line, they are doing just that. I've toured with these guys in the past, and I can tell you one thing, they are the epitome of what rock and roll should be. That's according to our editor, The Bastard. For more information on Swank Sinatra, visit their MySpace at myspace.com/swanksinatra, and registered stashers, you can get an MP3 download of this tune. It's Swank Sinatra with Silverback.
this is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of Normal. We are the oldest, largest, and best-known marijuana law reform organization in America. And it's all because of your support. Take some time to join Normal at www.normal.org. Your membership supports this podcast, our websites, our policy research and analysis, and our annual conferences. Changing marijuana laws is a grassroots effort, and it starts with you, the stakeholder. Join Normal today and add your voice to the millions of cannabis consumers who demand equality with our beer-drinking friends.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527. Marijuana culture is infused throughout America and the world. As we round out the week, we take a look at the 420 phenomenon in movies, TV, music, and sports with former High Times editor and author of Pot Culture, Steve Bloom, in our CelebStoner.com entertainment news.
All right, it's Friday, and that means we're going to be talking with Steve Bloom from CelebStoner.com for our final interview for the 2009 season. And, Steve, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Russ, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing good, and I hope you're doing good out there in New York. I saw Fish was at the Madison Square Garden, and I bet you had a lot of fun there.
I did enjoy that. I guess Fish fans are gearing up for New Year's Eve in Miami.
Well, a lot of fun there. But the stories we got for today's entertainment report seem to do a lot with sports. We just saw the Babineau bust. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about that.
Well, that's Jonathan Babineau, the Atlanta Falcons defensive tackle. 300-pound guy was pulled over by police last week. You know, pretty much the same as usual. Something wrong with the car. Justifying a stop, the police get to the car, smell marijuana, and begin to take people out of the car and try to search the car. In the case of Babineau, him and his partner, who he was riding with down in Atlanta or just outside of Atlanta, they found three bags of marijuana, adding up to 41 grams in the car, and arrested them for that. Now, what was sort of interesting about the whole arrest that went down when the police report came out was that Babineau picks up his friend at the airport, who's in town to watch the game, last week's game against the Saints, and they immediately go to a townhouse and buy marijuana. Now, apparently Babineau probably was in the car. His friend goes and picks up the pot, a guy named Aaron Robinson. He apparently buys 3/4 of an ounce of pot. It was in bags already, like, you know, 2/4 and 1/2. So, two eighths and one half. And then Robinson rolls up a blunt, and apparently they smoke a little bit in the car. When the police, you know, smell the marijuana, you know, they ask him, is there any marijuana in the car? No. Can we search the car? No. Well, we're going to bring a canine, and the canine obviously smells the marijuana. They do their search. They find the pot in a backpack, and they, you know, proceed to, you know, arrest the guys. And then the story comes out about, you know, where they got the pot. The guy who just got into town said he was a medical marijuana guy from California. You know, first he said he brought the pot with him, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, just a long story about, you know, just trying to sort of find out really what was going on there. And, you know, they arrested him on this basic charge. The other guy got the felony charge because he apparently was the buyer. And the thing interesting again about Babineau is that Babineau has not been suspended. Atlanta played him last week against the Saints. Last year when Santonio Holmes was arrested, he was suspended, and so was Sean Ellis for the Jets. They were both suspended a game. They didn't play the next game. Babineau continues to play despite the fact that he was arrested. So every team has a different policy. I just never really understand the policies within the league. It's not one league policy. It's not the NFL cracking down. It's individual teams deciding what they're going to do. In this case, they haven't done anything, which is fine with me. I'd rather the guy play, and I'd rather not take it that seriously. But again, it's sort of wildly inconsistent around the league. And so, you know, once again, it's just the same problem. You know, the athletes who enjoy marijuana want to have a little, you know, have a little smoke. They, for whatever reason, do it in their cars. And in the car like this, the reason why it was stopped was because they didn't have a license tag light. The Escalade, which all these guys drive, was heavily tinted windows, and that was just enough reason for the cops to pull them over. So they just give them just enough reason to pull them over, and then in the car, the car's stinking with pot, and, you know, that just, you know, leads to the next step, which becomes the search and then ultimately the arrest.
Yeah.
So Babineau became the 14th player since 2008 in the NFL to be arrested on a marijuana or a drug charge. So he joins the all NFL drug bust team. And, interestingly, Chris Henry, who just passed away, this week, more football news, the guy who fell off the back of this truck in this incident, in Charlotte, North Carolina, he was one of like the sort of kind of troubled, guys on the Bengals when the Bengals were starting to have a lot of problems with players getting arrested. And he got arrested for marijuana in 2005. He got arrested five times in 28 months between 2005 and 2008. The first of the arrests was marijuana. So that was just kind of the beginning of Henry's troubles, which, you know, sort of, kind of came around this week to really get him.
Now, when, you know, we've got so many of these cases that have come up now with the NFL all drug bust team, are you starting to see now, just in general that not just the NFL, but all sports leagues are tending to be less serious about punishing these players that are caught with marijuana? Is that lightening up any?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it just really depends. You know, like Tim Lincecum, who got arrested, the Giants, pitcher, you know, who won two Cy Young awards in the last couple of years and was arrested recently. You know, there's been nothing, you know, that's happened with him at all whatsoever. I mean, the league really has, there's no policy in baseball to punish a player for being arrested, for marijuana. In football, again, it's inconsistent. There's no particular policy, but it's just up to each team and the commissioner to decide, you know, what they want to do. You know, but I think, you know, it's wise not to, you know, fine or suspend any guy before the determination of the case. You know, is the guy guilty? You know, in the case of Santonio Holmes, you know, for the Pittsburgh Steelers, who went on to, you know, help the Steelers win the Super Bowl last year, and he was arrested last October, it turns out that arrest was dismissed.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked the question, you know, well, what about that fine and suspension? You know, originally, you know, what do they do about that when they find the player, you know, is not guilty of the crime? So a lot of times they rush to the judgment and they suspend and fine before it's even determined, you know, whether there's guilt or not.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't really think the policy is changing at all. I just really think it depends on team to team, although it depends also league to league. But you find that the bulk of the arrests are in the NFL. There are occasional arrests in the NBA, but they've kind of cut back on that over the years. For whatever the reasons, the NBA players are not getting arrested like they did a few years ago. Guys like Allen Iverson, you know, were getting arrested a lot. And then very few NBA arrests over the last couple of years.
Right.
It's really all about the NFL and also, you know, college football as well.
Right, right. And you mentioned Tim Lincecum. He's going to be up north of me at the Clark County Courthouse here for, I guess he's got to make an appearance, and we're going to get some folks out there on Tuesday. He's going to be here on Tuesday. We're going to get some folks out there for some protest and some make some people aware that Lincecum shouldn't be treated any differently just because he likes to use a little bit of marijuana. We need to get these sports stars we need to legalize marijuana so these sports stars can't be busted for this stuff anymore. It seems ridiculous to me. These guys can, you know, go out there and abuse their bodies on the football field or go through all sorts of surgeries like they do in baseball, but we're going to worry about them smoking a joint.
Well, you know, Lincecum, you know, is not going to be treated any differently, as it turns out. He's already done a plea, you know, with his case where he's going to pay a fine. And it was a simple kind of a, you know, car arrest. Again, this was actually a morning arrest where he was pulled over, smelled marijuana, ended up, you know, doing a search and finding some weed. But they've already kind of sort of resolved that. And so the appearance is, you know, the protest, I don't know what the protest is going to accomplish. It's sort of a nice idea, but, you know, they've already agreed to drop the marijuana charge, turn it into a citation, and, you know, have him pay, you know, a $250 fine. So it's already kind of pre-decided, you know, what's going to happen. There's not going to be any type of court case. He's not going to plead innocent and so on and so forth. So, unfortunately, you know, there isn't going to be. I mean, Lincecum's not jumping aboard this movement and saying, hey, you know, I shouldn't have got arrested and, you know, and why me? And, you know, let's make a big, you know, example of myself. You know, he's done the usual stuff. I'm sorry for what I did. And, there, you know, he's got his lawyers and everybody else, you know, making sure that, you know, he gets off, you know, with as little penalty as possible. And they've already said that, you know, it's the first time marijuana drug paraphernalia case where the individuals cooperative with the officer, so they dismissed possession of marijuana and amended that to charge the buying or selling drug paraphernalia class A civil infraction instead of a misdemeanor. So the whole thing is already decided. But again, in the case of Lincecum, I mean, you know, the Giants, you know, haven't said a word. The Major League Baseball hasn't said a word about it, and they probably won't. I don't think they'll do anything about it in baseball.
Yeah. Well, we'll keep our eye on the sports leagues and see what happens in the future here with a lot of these guys. Before we let you go, Steve, I want to give people a chance. You know, it is the holiday season. People are looking to buy all sorts of gifts. They might have someone on their list who's a fellow traveler of the road. So I'd get you the chance to have them get a copy of Pot Culture.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, Pot Culture coming around for our second holiday season. Since it came out in 2008, the book is in its eighth printing. We're very proud of that, and we're so happy that people have already, you know, so many, you know, stoners out there have bought the book. But if you haven't, it's still available. Pot Culture, the A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life, written by myself and Shirley Halperin. Everything you want to know about marijuana, but we're too stoned to ask. And so it's available at Amazon. You could also get a signed copy if you go to my website, celebstoner.com, and we'll send you out a copy just in time for Christmas. And we're excited about our next book, Reefer Movie Madness, the Ultimate Stoner Film Guide, coming out in April.
Yeah, we're looking for a 420 release on that. It'll be a lot of fun, and we'll talk about that next year when it gets released. Steve Bloom from CelebStoner.com, thanks for joining us this Friday, and we'll talk to you next year.
Hey, Russ, thanks for having me. As always, Happy New Year, and best to everybody.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, The Growing Truth About Cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.normal.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent.
We leave you today with a reminder to take a moment and help those less fortunate than yourself, especially during this holiday season. At the end of every podcast, I say, take care of each other, tokers, and I really mean it. You know, we're all stronger when we band together, especially when we're fighting against the oppression of adult marijuana prohibition. But don't let that put blinders on you to the suffering of others. We're not the only people being oppressed here, and to tell you the truth, our suffering, it pales in comparison to what many people in this world are going through. So take that moment to contribute to some organization other than Normal or one of the marijuana law reform organizations. There's plenty out there that are doing great work to help people, and by spreading that good karma around, you'll be surprised how it'll come back and help you later. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.